I asked a question of the group that comes in early to pray. So I'll ask you the same one. And don't lie. You're not supposed to lie to the preacher. All right, that's in the Bible somewhere. I'm not sure where. I'll look it up. Have you ever said something and the second it was out of your mouth, you regretted it? Good, thank you. There are some of you going, like, you're not even looking at me now going, okay, this is, I had this problem. I mean, there's likely not one person in this room that has not experienced that. Perhaps many times. Perhaps regularly. Maybe this morning that you said something and in the minute you were reaching to try to pull it back because you knew it wasn't a good thing. And the thing about words is that as soon as they are out there, you can't take them back. I mean, you can make as many disclaimers as you want to. You can apologize. You can say, I didn't mean it that way, 1,000 times. But the fact is, they're still out there. And they can do very serious damage if they are not carefully used. It can be injuring to people because they spread. Words can be all-consuming. How many of you are familiar with the plant kudzu? K-U-D-Z-U. Kudzu. Oh, Deb, you had better raise your hand. She can give me the Latin name of it, probably. I don't need to go. Kudzu was introduced into this country through the nation of Japan. And it was brought at the Japanese pavilion at the 1876 centennial celebration of our country in Philadelphia. The country was 100 years old in 1876, and so they had a big expo in Philly, and all nations came, and Japan introduced kudzu. Now, it was originally presented as a houseplant, but because of how prolific it grows, and if you've ever been particularly down south, you see this, that the roots grow incredibly quickly, and the leaves that come up interlock with each other and they completely take over. They will smother and choke out plants and even trees. Well, words can also be like that. Words can be things that will spread very quickly. You don't have to say something to the wrong person before you realize everybody knows what you said. You know anybody like that? They're like a sounding board. You don't have to worry about if you've got a problem, because if you tell them, everybody knows you got a problem, whether you want them to or not. But words can mentally, emotionally smother people if they're not used carefully. So there's that wise adage that says, think before you speak. Well, I think it involves even more than that. In our Bible, the book of Proverbs is a collection of wise sayings. I'm sure many of you have read them. As a matter of fact, I believe there are 31 chapters, and many of you may have done this. You read one chapter a day, and in 1 month, you've read through the entire book of Proverbs. A majority of them were written by King Solomon, but there were also some others that also contributed. Well, not surprisingly, the book of Proverbs deals a great deal, a lot, with the words that we say. As a matter of fact, there are over 90 proverbs that are dedicated only to how we speak. Words like tongue, mouth, lips, words, 150 times. You'll see those throughout the various proverbs. You know, words and even your voice can be incredibly soothing or it can be unbelievably irritating. Fran Drescher made an unbelievable amount of money and has all kinds of fame with a voice that sounds like somebody's dragging their nails across a chalkboard. I've never been able to watch that show. She makes me crazy. My back stiffens. I'm hurting by the time I listen to 5 minutes of her talking. Conversely, on the other side of that, James Earl Jones, who died Monday of this week, had a magnificent, deep, baritone, mellifluous voice. Of course, we know he was the voice of Darth Vader. Cork. That's my impression of Darth Vader. There it was. It's better if I have a microphone. He was the voice of Simba from Lion King. And one time, James Earl Jones was asked to recite, not sing, but recite the national anthem before the 1993 Major League Baseball All-Star Game that was down in Baltimore at Camden Yards. They said, don't sing it, just say it. Now, I don't know that any of us have a voice that would be said to be that beautiful and that attractive, but I do think it's possible that every one of us can learn how to speak words with love and with wisdom. So what I want to do this morning, and I'm not giving you a specific verse from Proverbs because I'm going to do many. I would like this morning for you to leave here today with an understanding of how you can speak without regret. How can I talk to people without regretting something that I have said? Well, here's the first one. This is what you need to do. Number one, appreciate and understand the power of your words. There is no such thing as just an off-the-cuff comment that doesn't mean anything. The words you say, both positive and negative, have incredible power. Think about the most powerful words ever spoken. Read it in Genesis 1. What did it say? It said Jesus spoke and creation came about. The power of the words of God brought everything into existence. In the same way, church, when we speak negatively about situations, when we speak negatively about people, we are putting on them a power that is difficult, I think, for us to understand. This is why, parents, grandparents, it is so vitally important that you speak words of life and love over your children. Even when you're correcting them, I absolutely come unglued when I hear people tell me that their parents, their father, whoever it was, used to tell them, you're no good. You'll never succeed. I can't believe how terrible, whatever it is, those words stay in people's lives. When I was about 13 or 14, I guess it was, I was a part of a church group down in my home in Claymont, Delaware, which is where I grew up. And in this, it was a good-sized church, good Baptist church. And so the youth group was very involved. And there was a girl there that was a couple years older than I was. Don't listen to this. And I kind of had a crush on her. She's a little older. And so she had family in Oklahoma. And I'll never forget. This is, I tell you about how words impact somebody. She came back from Oklahoma having visiting some family. And she kept going on and on about how strong and big the boys were in Oklahoma. You know, from all the work that they did and all that. And she said, and she's looking right at me, she said, they're not scrawny like you are. That stayed with me my whole life. Even today, I look and I go, you got nothing. You're scrawny. Because I hear those words. Now, it doesn't help that I hang out with the Booth brothers. I mean, that's not good. Get these guys. But those words stayed with me. And I grew up my whole life thinking that I was just this scrawny little nothing guy. Because the kids in Oklahoma were the big ranchers or whatever it was that they were. They're so powerful words when you speak. This is why you have to be careful of the words you say, but you have to recognize how powerful they are. And parents, it doesn't matter how old your kids are, you still speak words of life, speak words of encouragement over them. Can I be blunt with you this morning? Is that all right? I don't care whether you say yes or no. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm trying to be kind and gracious. I'm trying to use nice words. Shooting your mouth off without thinking first is never a good idea. That's just a general thing that I can offer to you. Just to, boom, blurt out whatever comes in. Because there's a lot of people that have no gateway here. It starts here, comes out there, and you just let it fly. My friends, that's not the way we as Christians should live. The Bible talks too much about the power of words for us to feel like there's nothing wrong with that. We need to be aware of what those words do. And by the way, you may not believe this, But what you have to say may not be the most important thing that that person needs to hear. I know, shocking. You need to just sometimes not say anything. I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But I have a beautiful example here that Jesus used because he recognized the power of his words. It's Sunday now. Jesus was crucified on Friday, and it's Sunday. And the disciples are all huddled together somewhere in a room because they're hiding, basically, because they don't know what's going to be going on now. And the Bible tells us that they're in a locked room, and suddenly Jesus is standing in the middle of the room. Now, Jesus had a choice in that moment, did he not, of what he was going to say to his disciples. If it were any one of us, perhaps the words may have been something like, "You sniveling cowards. Here you are. You're not only not doing what I said I wanted you to do, but you're hiding in a room like scared children. And you deserted me. You bailed on me in the garden. Nobody stayed with me. You all ran. One of you even denied you even knew me completely. You never were my friends." Could Jesus have said those words? Certainly he could have, and he'd have been justified because all those things were true. But he didn't do that. John 20:19 tells us this. He said he simply walked in and said, "Peace be with you." And with those four words, Jesus completely diffused a situation that could have been volatile. Who knows what the disciples would have done, how they might have reacted. That's the kind of power that your words have. In the midst of a great storm of emotion, you can diffuse the whole thing by some well-chosen, kind, and loving words. But how many of us are willing to do that? You say, "Listen, Pastor Dave, if I do that, I may not win this argument. If I do that, I may look like I'm wrong. What if I'm not vindicated? What if they think this or go that?" And as my poor wife has heard me say 140,000 times, you can't control what people think. You cannot control what people do. You can be the very best person that you can possibly be, and you have no control over what's going to be said. So what I want to do, and I pray for you as well, is I want to err on the side of being a peacemaker, of speaking words of love, because I know that those words have power. And they can be used either for good, or they can be used to cause great injury in people's lives. And that's for every single one of us. Second thing I want to encourage you to do. The first one is recognize and understand the power of your words. The second one is this: speak less, not more. Speak less, not more. Proverbs 29:11, it says, "A fool gives vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back." Let me paraphrase that for you without changing the meaning. Talking too much can lead to a lot of problems. Be sensible. Keep your mouth shut. Now, I'm not saying that you never engage. I'm not saying you take that to the point where you never say anything. But if you were to think about how much you talk, how would you judge that? Many of you remember my friend Tom Stevenson. Tom was a part of our church for a number of years, and I had an opportunity to get to know Tom. We became good friends, and I felt like God brought him to me in order to help him to learn how to teach and how to preach better with the logistics of how he did that. He was just filled with the Word. How about it, Vance? Tom knew the Word of God. He just wasn't comfortable saying it in a way that people could understand. So I was helping him with that. But one of the things that I had to work with Tom, I love having breakfast with him because I knew I was going to be eating a hot meal. Because as soon as the food came, all I had to say to Tom was, "So how you been, Tom?" And I just ate for 15 minutes. Because he never stopped talking, ever. Do you know anybody like that? Do not look at the person sitting next to you. Do you know anybody like that? You know that when you're talking to them, they are not listening because all they're waiting for you to do is to inhale so they can jump in. Oh, wow. Right at her, Karen. Holy mackerel. Not you. Okay. All right. This is a tough day for Sharon. Jeez. But Tom, I love being with him, and I love what he had to say. But there were times when we were getting together to talk about some very specific things that are important, and I had to say to him more than once, do not interrupt me for the next 5 minutes. Stop talking. I had to say that to him. Now, we laughed, and he knew I could say it to him, and I wasn't being mean. But if I didn't do that, I would not get to finish a thought. Or he'd ask me a question, and then he'd keep talking for 15 minutes, and by the time I was ready to answer, it was irrelevant. So I had to say, stop talking. Just listen. Don't be that person. Don't be the one that someone, you know, you start a conversation and you realize, whoa, I've been talking the whole time. Now, I do talk a lot, but it's my job. There's a part of that, but I don't talk all this all the time. Work with me, honey. Thank you. God love you. I love you, dear. I don't talk this much all the time. I enjoy not having to talk when I'm in groups. I get people say, hey, you know, why don't you come? I go, no, I'm good. Let me just sit out here. You do that. But see, when you speak, the more that you speak, the less importance there is to your words because you never stop talking. I would rather be one of those people that when I do have something to say, that people want to listen because I'm not constantly talking. Am I hitting anybody with this or not? You don't have to nod, but just be available to it. And you know, it's not also a mistake the fact that God gave us all two ears and one mouth, which means you ought to be listening twice as much as you're talking. Somebody's got to take Karen out of here in a minute, I'm afraid. I'm not sure. Either this is really good or it's ridiculous, one or the other. Abraham Lincoln was credited with saying, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt. Now, I'm thinking Abe probably got that from Proverbs 17:28. It says, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. See, James wrote in 1:19, he said, everybody should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. There's just not as much benefit, my friends, to us talking constantly as we think that there is. Listen to the people around you. Allow others to be a part of what it is that's going on. So here's the third one. Speak gently to the people around you, not harshly. So again, I do talk a lot, but I don't talk a lot everywhere because I am very aware of the words that I say. And it's not just because of the calling that God has on my life, but I've come to realize that I need to guard the things I say so that people are not injured by the things that I say. I would ask you that this morning. Do you bring healing with your words or do you tend to injure the people around you? I realize this is not easy. This is a revelation that I think you probably need to be saying to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, reveal to me. Is this me? I don't think I talk a lot. Well, I'll tell you what. If you think that, you probably do. You might talk more than you think you do. But the way that you speak is also so important. 1 Timothy 6:20, Paul is writing. This is the last letter that he writes before he is executed by Nero. And he's writing to Timothy and he says, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is false knowledge. See, the way we speak to each other is just as important as what we say to each other. And again, I would ask that you consider, how do you speak? What's the tone like? Are you harsh when you speak to people? Do you tend to be dismissive? Are you condescending? Is it sharp? Is it cutting? Is it impatient when you speak? Now, you want to know the best way to find this out? Find the person that you talk to the most and ask them. Ask them. How many people can do that without getting upset, without getting angry? The tone of your voice, again, carries just as much weight as the words. There are a lot of people that are just like me. I'm very aware of context. I'm very aware of tone when people talk. And that's not always an easy thing to have. It puts pressure on the people that you're talking to. But it's important to recognize that when you're speaking to someone, if you're speaking less and not more, and you're aware of the power of your words, and that you want to speak gently to people, consider how different your conversations might be. As a child of God, Proverbs 18:23 says, "The poor plead for mercy, but the rich answer harshly." And wealth in the scriptures has never been tied to anything positive. Wealth has always been things of the world and things of selfish desire. So if I don't care how I treat people around me, I'll talk any way I want to. I'll speak any way that I want to. And yet we're told in the scriptures that to speak harshly injures the people around us. You don't have to yell to make your point known. My boys have told me, my guys are adults, old. I'm going to have a 40-year-old son next year. Oh my God. I don't understand how I got to that point. My other guy's going to be 38. So I have adult sons. And they have both told me that they would have much rather I screamed at them when they were bad, when they were little. Because they said, what you did, Dad, is you got real quiet. And you talked to us like this. And they said, it terrified us. I thought, wow, that's great. I wish I'd known that. I would have used that more often. Your authority is not based on your volume. Your authority is not based on the way that you talk at somebody. Your authority comes from the person that God has created you to be. And because of that, you need to be very careful how you speak to one another. Recognize and appreciate the power of your words. Speak less, not more. Speak gently, not harshly. Here's the fourth one. Think before you speak. Think before you speak. Proverbs 15:8. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Let me do a quick word study with you. The word ponder in the original language means to meditate, to devise, and to consider. Now, what does that say to you? It's going to take a minute. I may not be able to be slamming every single thought I have into this conversation. I may need to be thinking a little bit before I speak the words, because the word pour that it uses, the wicked pours out evil things, that word means to gush, or, you ready for this one? Love this one. Belch out. That's a perfect description to that, I think. Belch out the words. How attractive is that? Yeah. When we are speaking in those ways without doing any thinking, without considering anything about the people that are having to hear what I'm saying, it becomes something that can be very offensive. But if I just consider the words that I'm going to say, and to ask a simple question, what value is what I'm about to say going to have? Will it restore? Will it encourage? Will it bring understanding, edification? Will I build someone up? Or will it cause injury or pain? Will it bring confusion to the situation? Will I do nothing but guard and vindicate myself? My friends, these are the things that a maturing Christian man and woman are considering when they speak. Here's the last one. And that's very simply, speak the truth in love. Proverbs 8:6-8 says this, "Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips hate an abomination. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse." Now, the word abomination is not a word that generally comes up in our conversations. I don't know about you, but I don't say abomination very often. But even to understand what that word means and why the writer of this proverb uses it, the word abomination means to be detestable. So the proverb writer is saying, anything out of my mouth, I don't want it to be detestable in any way. Think of it like this. We were in South Carolina. In South Carolina, they have a lovely bug called a palmetto. Anybody familiar with that? Palmetto bugs. They are big roach-like guys that are kind of tan brown almost, and they have long wings. They're lovely. You see them all over. And when they die, their little legs are sticking straight up in the air like this, because we've been spraying for them to make sure they're not there. So now imagine you're at a beautiful, fine restaurant. You're spending a lot of money for this meal. And you placed your order, and the waiter comes. He's got a towel draped over. He's got a beautiful bone china plate with a silver-plated dome over top of it. And he sets it down. And he reaches over, and he takes the dome, and with a great flourish, pulls it away. And on your plate is a whole bunch of palmettos running over each other and crawling over the plate. And the waiter steps back and says, "What type of dipping sauce would you like with those?" That's an abomination. That would be detestable. Now, that is the exact same word that we read in the scripture, is how God looks on those that speak with lying and deceitful tongues. And to see to be lying and deceitful is all a part of not considering anything that you say. To lie to somebody is something you will always regret. To be deceitful to someone, you're always going to regret that. But as Christians, to understand and to recognize the power of these words, if we would just stop and think, if we would just guard the tone of our voice, if we would recognize that I don't have to comment about every single thing that is going on around me, think about what that would do to change the environment of your home, of your workplace, of your marriage, of your relationship with your children. Anything where you are communicating with the people around you, people begin to look forward to spending time and talking with you rather than going, "Oh, geez, where's my escape route here?" That's what it means to be aware of those things. Paul told the people at the church of Ephesus to speak the truth in love. That's Ephesians 4:15. Now, here's the last key with this, and then I'm done. All of these things, my friends, must be considered before you say it. You can't be thinking these things after it's already out there. What did I say at the very beginning? Once it's out, it's out. And you can go, "Oh, wait, I got six Bible verses I want to quote to you to kind of what that means." No, no. You think of all of that before you speak the words. Now, permit me as I close, if you would, to speak the truth to all of us in love. Number one, we are all sinners saved by grace. This is not something you're going to walk out of here today and go, got it, never a problem again. Honey, wait till you see the kind of person I am now going to be. You can think like that, but it ain't going to happen. So there's that constant battle with the flesh and the spirit. But to keep these things in mind and to recognize that when my favorite person says something that hurts my feelings a little bit, I want to give grace because I'm probably likely going to do the same thing again. But I never excuse it. I never allow that to be something that's okay in my life. Second thing is, your words are very powerful. Don't think in any way that they're not. Doesn't matter how old or how young you are, what you do, what you don't do. Your words carry great weight with them. Not everything you have to say is the most important thing. I know that's hard to believe again, but there are times when it's so much wiser just not to engage in something. And every time you speak, do it in love. The Bible tells us that love covers a multitude of sins. The Bible tells us to love one another is what it means to live in the best way as a child of God. Paul went through all of this to this church in Corinth to tell them about all the great spiritual gifts that they could have. But he said, "Now, let me tell you what's best, and that's to love one another." Let me encourage you, my friends, guard your words. And don't do it just here on Sunday. As a matter of fact, let me encourage you, it's more important that you do it Monday through Saturday. That's the place where I want you to be guarding what it is that you say so that you can be an example of what it means to live as a child of God, no matter what it is that's taking place around you. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word this morning. And Father, I pray that for each and every one of us, starting with me, that we are careful about the words that we say, careful about how we say them, knowing, God, that to speak words of life is what it means to be a child of God. And God, that means sometimes I'm going to have to remove myself from some conversations. At times it means I'm just going to have to sit there, that I should not engage. And Father, I pray that we would be willing to err on the side of remaining quiet rather than speaking always. Father, thank you that you're patient and loving with us. I pray that we would be with one another. And I thank you, God, that in the truth of all of these things, that you love us, that you care for us, and that you will help us when we call on you to be careful of the words that we say and use them to glorify, to edify, and to love one another, and most especially to love you. Father, bless us as we go, I pray. Keep us safe, and we look forward to coming back again next week and sharing a great time together at our picnic and just loving one another and so grateful for the family that you have brought here. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you so much. We love you.